Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share a little bit more detail about my coin collection with you. It started with a very special coin for me. Pastor Mark hid my coins. You're okay. Too efficient. He is. Oh, so my whole box is filled with them. But it started with this little one, and I'll walk around and I can show you guys. I found it when I was about 7 or 8 years old on top of my mother's dryer. That's where you find the best stuff, right? And so this is the mid-1980s, and I thought it was a dime. And back in the mid-1980s, you could take a dime up to the local L&L market and buy all kinds of cheap candy. So I thought I was in luck. But I picked it up, and I looked at it, and it was not a dime. Not at all. I had to ask my mother, "Mother, what in the world is a sixpence? Sixpence from 1951, and it has a kangaroo on it. What is this? And why is it on your dryer?" She said, "Ben, that's from Australia." Australia. How did a sixpence from Australia end up on my mother's dryer? Well, some of you guys know that my father did 1 year, not two, of a Mormon mission to Australia in the 1960s, late 60s. And so he returned, and he must have had this with him. And there it rested on mother's dryer one day, ready for me to find. So this is how my coin collection began. And on the back, you'll see a face, kind of like our dimes, but the face is dissolved, strangely. Interesting. Jesus has another coin that he finds pretty interesting. It's a coin that is about a tax in his day. It was a coin that most likely had the emperor Tiberius on it. Would have been silver, and it would have been minted with this inscription: "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus." Son of the divine Augustus. What an interesting thing to write on a coin. Now, this coin is significant because this was the coin that the Jewish people had to use to pay the Roman tax. The Roman tax. So this is a tax that began in 6 AD when Judea became a Roman province. So this tax and the situation around this tax just was fueled with strong opposition. So the coin that they had to use, this coin with the Emperor Tiberius on it, son of the divine Augustus, symbolized their exile within their own property, on their own turf. So this coin would have felt just disgusting and filthy to hold. For one, as a Jewish person, it would have had a graven image on it. And second, like I said, the coin was a representation of all of their oppression from the Roman people. So back to the question that is proposed to Jesus. It's a trap. He knows it. This isn't a conveniently placed article about church and state relations. Not at all. This is a trap, you guys. Let's look at the story. The Pharisees and the Herodians are coming to Jesus, and they say, "Hey, is it okay to pay the tax to Caesar or not?" Now, what happens if Jesus says, "Yeah, it's okay"? What happens? And all of the oppressed Jewish people will think, what? Are they not oppressing us? Do you not see this injustice? Now, what if Jesus says, no, don't pay the tax, then what? What will Rome think of that? You'd be fostering sedition, and you better not mess with the Roman Empire. So instead of getting caught in the trap, Jesus disarms it. He disarms it. And he says, who has a coin? Who has a coin to pay the tax with? So can I ask you, do you have a $20 bill? Would you give me a 20? Oh, no takers, no takers. He asks for the coin. Does Jesus have a coin? Does he have this coin on him? No. Who does in the story? Who does? One of the Pharisees. One of the Pharisees has this filthy, graven image, symbol of oppression in his pocket. Where is he at? On the temple grounds. Oh, he's busted. He is busted. But Jesus lets it go. Jesus lets it go, and he moves on, and he says, tell me, whose image is on this coin? That's easy to figure out. It's Caesar. It's Caesar. And you know the next line, a famous one. Jesus says, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Give to God the things that belong to God. Oh, boy. Jesus wins. He wins the argument, the debate. They're mystified. They walk away silent, but no doubt wondering, as maybe you and I are this morning, what belongs to God? What bears God's image? The image of God used to be ours. In the very beginning, God created humanity, and humanity reflected God's image. Wherever you saw humanity, you saw a wonderful reflection of who God was. When Adam and Eve worked, it's as though they saw God Himself in motion. But humanity then made a decision to no longer reflect God's image, God's desires, but their own. You know how the story goes. Our image was dissolved. They no longer reflected God. They became concave, unable to reflect God anymore, reflecting their own desire. And at best, that's just a little fracture, no longer seeing God clearly, but at worst, the worst of humanity. What you see is an evil distortion of the will of God. So we waited. We waited for restoration, for our original image to be restored to us, not in appearance alone, but in substance and in heart. And when Christ came, He summed up all of humanity to Himself. And He gathered a people to Himself, a people who would trust in His grace and in His embrace, and He sealed this people to Himself through baptism, minting them with His image, not of appearance, but of substance and of heart. So who belongs to God? You do. You're baptized, sealed, minted with the image of Christ. Dear friends, know who you are in this world. What belongs to God? All things. The Lord made it all. One psalm says, the cattle of 1,000 hills are his. Another psalm says that the Lord God made the Leviathan sea monster to play about in the sea, evidently for God's own pleasure. So how do you give yourself to God? First, know who you are. Dear friends, know who you are. Remember again and again what God says to you and about you. I know a lot of our stories feel like the coin that I found from my father's mission. Sometimes we feel tattered, torn, dissolved, as though our experience and our history communicates to us, oh no, you can't be loved. Look at your past. Look at your present struggle. How can God love that? How can you really be the image of Christ in this world? Dear friends, know what is true, what God says about you. You are minted with the image of Christ now and forever. Stamped, sealed, know who you are. And then walk. Trusting. The Lord says something significant to you about how valuable you are to Him. Trust Him all of your days. And be formed all the more so that through your life, through your journey, your heart, your way of life might be transformed all the more to reflect what is true in your deepest self, where the great image of Christ resides. Well, I've got one more question. Even though the text isn't really about church and state, we have the question, right? Well, should we pay taxes or not? Should we vote on that here? Should we pay taxes or not? Dear friends, the Lord God provides. The Lord God provides, and the purpose of the state is to provide stability and to provide order for the people. So it is possible to navigate life in the state, life in the civic world, right? You've been doing this. It's not always easy, but it's possible. One way is to participate through taxes, yet we cannot participate blindly. Our role as Christians has always been, one of participating in the things that flourish and nurture life, and critiquing and challenging the things that do not. It continues to be our role for all states of all times and all places have always abused their role in various ways, some large, some small. So our challenge is sure and true. Participate, yet critique. If you see something that establishes life, join it. If you see something that diminishes and defaces humanity and all creation, challenge it. Challenge it. So we must be involved, though it is not easy. So returning to point, how do you move forward? Again, dear friends, remember who you are, who you belong to, minted, sealed, now and forever, as a child of God, forgiven, cherished for all eternity. So live from that reality deep within your core. Let it influence your life and your decisions.